Hello there, good evening, and welcome to another edition of the JMAC podcast as we answer some more important questions. Should President Trump be impeached again? That would make him the first president ever to have been impeached twice. And what really is the point of that, considering he only has 8 more days left? And then another question, will there be more violence? We heard word from the FBI today that there's growing concern about plans being made around the U.S. Capitol and around state capitals across the country. So you can hear my front doorbell ringing. Can you believe that? How unprofessional is that, J-Mac? With that in mind, I would love for you to just answer in the comments really quick here. Do you think that President Trump should be impeached? This is something where I've come out and I've said, I do not believe that you will achieve anything by impeaching him. With one exception. But I want to know and hear from you. It's amazing to see how many Republicans are now changing their tune when they're the ones who get attacked and when they're the ones that are the recipient of the president's rhetoric. And so a lot of them are suggesting now that they will at least consider an impeachment. I still don't think they have enough to get 2/3 majority in the Senate. There's no question he's going to be impeached in the House, if you ask me. This is Sebastian on Facebook. Hey, Sebastian, I vote yes to show all coming candidates and then you got cut off, Sebastian. Finish your comment there, and I'll be glad to put it up. The problem is, are you showing candidates anything? Will this be perceived once again as just more of a witch hunt? Because everybody who is a diehard Trump supporter, that's exactly how they're going to view this. So are you not continuing to send more division out there into our country when perhaps we should be looking for ways to stop the divide and start coming together? This is Chris Larson. He says, I think Pelosi and Pence need to agree that there will be no impeachment. If Pence will step in with the 25th, if Trump tries anything crazy. So basically what's going on right now in the House is they are working on a resolution right now, Chris, that is asking the vice president to invoke the 25th. And if the vice president refuses, and he's already told Nancy he's going to, then they're going to go forward with the impeachment proceedings. But I understand what you're saying is you got to sit by and wait for the president. You know, does he try a nuclear attack on Iran? Does he do something crazy? How quickly can you implement the 25th Amendment? I don't know if you can sit around and wait for that exact moment. But I also don't think, as much as I have been incredibly frustrated with the president on his COVID response and on inciting this violence, and I do think he incited it, and I will tell you why, I still don't think the guy's gonna do anything outrageous. Do you think he's gonna do anything crazy? I think the craziest thing left on his agenda is to pardon all of his family members and Rudy Giuliani. He's being told, according to reports, that he cannot pardon himself, and he's getting angry at that, but I still think he's going to try. I think that's all that's left for this president, besides a trip to the border today to see a partially finished wall. I don't know what else he's got left. I'm not worried about the nuclear codes like Nancy Pelosi is. I'm really not. This is Tammy. 10 more days, and hopefully we can start talking policy and stop talking about DJT. I agree with you, Tammy. But do you think the president's going to let that happen? I don't know. This is Leanne on Facebook. Yes, he doesn't deserve the perks or the opportunities to run again. So my understanding is that even if he is impeached and thrown out, I still think he gets the Secret Service protection, if you want to call that a perk. I don't know if that's a perk. But you would be able to keep him from running again. And that's the one bright side for me of the impeachment process. That's the one where I look at it and I go, okay, you know, maybe it's worth it. Maybe the divisions are worth it. I still don't think they are. But again, this is Mandy. How about stop COVID? Yeah, instead of rushing to the border and talking about your border wall, how about work on COVID? Yeah, that's interesting. Leanne says it was refused about 10 minutes ago. Are you talking about the 25th Amendment? Let me know what you're talking about there. Let's see. You have to impeach, like he says, we are a nation of laws. Well, it's hard to look at the president's speech and say where he broke the law, isn't it? In a country of free speech. In fact, he said today that his speech was totally appropriate. And guess what? If this speech was given at any other place, at any other time, in a bubble, I don't really have a problem with it. Because we use this kind of language all the time. Fight, you know, strength. Those are not strange terms or inappropriate terms to use in a speech. So if you separated out his speech and you looked at it in a bubble, I don't think that there was much to it. Now, Rudy Giuliani, yeah, that's a different story. Some of the other Trumps who spoke, yeah, different story. But in a bubble, the president's speech was not a big deal, but it wasn't in a bubble. It was after years of throwing gasoline on the fire. And by years, I mean years of making people believe that they can't trust our electoral process. Now, here's the president today talking about how wonderful his speech was and how everybody's looked at it. Everybody. To a T. And they all say it was totally appropriate. Everybody has looked at it.
What is your role in what happened at the Capitol? What is your personal responsibility?
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said. But they've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Everybody to a T says it was totally appropriate. Chris on Facebook says, does the free speech guarantee the president the right to lie about election fraud? Actually, it does. And that's just the truth. The consequence for that is not criminal prosecution or removal from office. Because let's be honest, politicians, can we count on them all to be truthful? No. They lie all the time. We know this. And the consequence should be that you're removed. You're not voted back in. That's the consequence in politics for lying to the people, right? This is Vincent. Vincent says, in the conclusion of his speech, Trump clearly told the crowd to go down to the Capitol and intimidate members of Congress, especially Republicans, to overthrow the results of an election. That is sedition. That is impeachable. He doesn't use the word intimidate. He says we have to go down there with strength. And he doesn't use any words. Again, you take the speech and you put it in any other place in time. And I don't think that you can say he's inciting a riot. You put it anywhere else. I don't think you can say that. But when you put it at the end of years, and it has been years, of lies about voter fraud, and then 3 solid months of a public disinformation campaign convincing people that their rights have been stolen. And surely he has to know what those people are thinking. I mean, does the guy have any access to social media? Of course he does. So the speech in itself, and notice the president is trying to make it about the speech. He's saying he didn't incite violence because the speech was okay. This isn't about a speech. This is about a campaign to discredit people's faith in our electoral process. A campaign of lies and propaganda and misinformation. That's what incited the violence. This speech was just the last little teeny bit on top that pushed the scales over. In fact, I can guarantee you that if the president didn't make this speech, the siege on the Capitol still happens. Because the siege on the Capitol was planned. And in fact, what was the story that I saw? Storm the Capitol, that phrase, was used online 100,000 times in the month before the Washington, D.C. siege. So I don't think the president had to do a thing that day. This was planned. The guy with the zip ties, people in full military gear. And it was not Antifa. That has been so terribly debunked. If you're still clinging on to that lie, I don't know what to tell you. So to me, it was everything that led up to this moment. And to the president, I would say, it's not about this speech. This speech was just the cherry on top. And you may have ginned them up even more. But they were going to do this. This was already scheduled and planned. So the reason that I'm not trying to excuse the speech. I'm trying to deal with the president's claim that it was about the speech. And if you look at the speech, you can't impeach me over a speech. It's about so much more than that. So much more. Let's see more of your comments. There goes the hyperbole president again. Everybody. Yes. Amy says there used to be a consequence for lying. Erica Nelson says no impeachment. For those of you on TikTok, welcome. who that guy on TikTok says Antifa planned it, you are correct. Not a shred of evidence. Meanwhile, diehard Trump supporters are being rounded up and charged left and right. People with long histories of support for the president. There's no question who these people are. There's no question what they believe. The idea that Antifa planned this or BLM planned this is unfounded. There is absolutely nothing to support it. In fact, even Kevin McCarthy, on a phone call with President Trump tried to tell him it was Antifa. Do you know what Kevin McCarthy said? He said, "I was there, Mr. President. This was not Antifa. This was MAGA." Anybody trying to sell the Antifa lie is somebody who is embarrassed that their side finally took to violence. And you can't handle the embarrassment. And so you're blaming other people when what you should be doing is saying, "That's not us. Those people who did that, they don't represent me. I was there peacefully. And I think there were hundreds of thousands there peacefully. And that there was a small group who planned this siege on the Capitol. But they were not Antifa." If you believe that, you will believe anything. And please don't share with me the facial recognition story, because that was a complete lie. Okay? It was a complete lie. Jeffrey Martin on TikTok says, do you think this was the reason Big Tech canceled the right? Well, they didn't cancel all the right, but they have a huge fear about more violence. Because the president's propaganda campaign has ginned people up to want to commit violence, to want to take their country back. The president has literally looked them in the face and said, your rights have been taken. And then it went through the courts. It went through the state legislatures. Nobody's responding. And your rights are being taken. What are you left with in that case? What are you left with if you're a citizen of the United States and you have been convinced whole cloth that your right to vote has been removed and that the person who actually won the presidency is not going to take office? Think about that. This is Tomboy on TikTok. He says, ugh, I regret voting for you now. this is who that guy again on TikTok. I don't care who did it. It was wrong. But BLM and Antifa have been destroying cities. They have been destroying cities. And this is the crazy thing for me, is that everybody on the right and the majority of the leadership on the left, by the way, if you care to know, have been decrying the violence. Now, suddenly the violence happens on their side and, oh, it's not as bad as Antifa violence. Stop it. In my opinion, it's worse. It's worse. Antifa violence is what? It's about burning down buildings, looting. This was about overthrowing the United States government. These people were intent on kidnapping and hanging Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence. And you want to say that's the same as burning down buildings? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I've spoken out against the violence of Antifa and any protesters who seek violence, that they should be arrested and they should be charged. But you can't tell me that overthrowing the federal government is the same as trying to burn down buildings. I just do not believe that. This is who dat. Kamala Harris said protests and riots shouldn't stop. Who dat? Check your facts. She said the protests shouldn't stop. You're adding the riots part. She actually said they won't stop. This is something we love to do. We'll just add little words to the narrative. So that's on TikTok. By the way, everybody, thank you for joining me on TikTok. If you don't see your comments on the screen on TikTok, you are coming to me via a separate system. So I can't put your comments on the screen. But if you're with YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Periscope, all of those, I can put your comments on the screen. Vincent, if your comments are incredibly long, I can't put them on the screen or even read them while I'm talking. So try and keep it a little bit shorter if you can. This is Amy on Facebook. The speech was the match that lit the fuse. Thank heavens the bombs didn't go off. I agree it was part of the match, but these people came prepared to do this. They had maps. This was a planned assault on the seat of our government. This is Spencer. I agree the months of sowing doubt about our election made people so angry that when he called supporters to DC, violence was inevitable. Yeah. Yeah. Words matter. Words matter. And when you carry the power of the presidency, and you're so willing to destroy people's faith in the electoral process. And those of you, I hate to be an I told you so about this, but back in 2016, when President Trump said he actually won the popular vote because millions voted illegally, I went on the air for days at a time saying that this undermines people's faith in our election system. And when they don't have faith in our election system, they will turn to violence. And you know what Trump supporters did to me that day? They excoriated me. Oh, I'm just a Trump hater. Oh, stop. The president didn't have evidence of voter fraud in 2016, and his commission was formed to find that voter fraud, and they never found it. So a lot of us saw this coming, and a lot of us were shamed by diehard Trump supporters. It's just hate. We were just spewing hate. We didn't know anything about it. This is Jeffrey Martin on TikTok. What do you think about cancel culture? Kind of a subject for another time, Jeffrey. I think like anything else, you have to look at each instance and determine it by its merits. I don't think you can just assign everything to cancel culture. Some things I will agree with, other things I don't. And that is perplexing to a lot of people because I won't just land on one side or the other. Let's see here. Back to your comments. There have been many leaders that have incited violence. Well, if you can find those leaders and find specific ties to violence, then they should be held accountable. Everybody who does this should be held accountable. Agree? Y'all agree? This is Ben Hunt. Perhaps wait on impeachment until the investigation is farther along. I understand why they're doing it now. I understand they don't want the president to ever seek public office again. I don't know that you need much of an investigation, Ben. I really don't. I mean, you know what the guy's been doing. You know what the guy's been saying for months now. And for years. His first claims of voter fraud happened in 2012. So I don't know that you need much of an investigation to determine that he has led a certain segment of this population down a path of lies and that he should have known what the end result is. Jeffrey Martin on TikTok, do you think we are more divided as a country? Biden is going to have a hard time. Of course we're more divided. More divided than perhaps back during the start of the Civil War. And I blame both sides for that. But I put a huge heaping of that accountability in Trump's lap because he made no attempt to unite. Most presidents, once they get in office, they seek to unite. They seek to appeal to both sides. They want to get it reelected. So they'll at least pretend to be listening to the other side. President Trump won with his base, and he felt he could get reelected with his base. Something that, once again, I'm in the I told you so mode. I've been telling you for 4 years, he cannot get reelected with his base because he didn't get elected because of his base. He got elected because the left did not show up like they normally show up. And they didn't show up because Hillary Clinton was ahead 12 points in the polls. So in all of the major metropolitan areas, people said, why am I going to go stand in line when she's up 12%? That's been my opinion since the very beginning. Let's see. Lots of your comments. This is Fannie Mae. This president will always be the best president that have helped the veterans and love Americans. Well, certainly he's helped the veterans. And certainly he's helped a lot of Americans. But that doesn't make him the best because then he turned around and he blew it on COVID with the exception of Operation Warp Speed and shutting down the borders. Completely blew it on COVID. And with voter fraud, I don't care what you did for Americans. If you lead a large segment of the population down the road to believing that there should be a civil war, you cannot go down in history as one of the best. It overshadows everything. Everything. Then Big Tom, there's no way the American people have voted for this man. I'm assuming you're saying Biden. He can't even speak in normal sentences. Big Tom, I would suggest you look into Joe Biden's speech impediment. There's a reason he can't speak in complete sentences. As somebody who had a speech impediment when I was very young, I can appreciate that. But they didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump. Trump is the biggest divider we have ever had. And here's what happens. And I've shared this equation with you many times, but I'll do it again quickly. When you have somebody who can create incredible fanaticism, that typically comes with also creating huge opposition because you are divisive. And so this president created more opposition than he created support. Because again, he only ever appealed to his base. And anyone who is not in his base, he used vile character assassination. He attacked them at every single turn. He made them feel that they have no representation in this president. And he fired them up to get rid of them. I don't believe that this election was ever about Joe Biden. Ever. This was pro-Trump or anti-Trump. Cecil Hunter on TikTok. Hey, J-Mac McStupid, go find Nancy Pelosi and hide with her. Here's a general rule that we have on this podcast. And everybody who's been with me forever, they know it. Cecil, you probably don't. So let me clue you in. We all know that when you resort to attacks, we know what's really happened. I've said something that makes you feel uncomfortable, but you can't combat it. You can't combat it with logic or a reasonable point. And so you resort to the attacks. Now, we all here know exactly what that means when you attack. We know it means that you're weak and you can't actually combat what I'm saying. So keep the attacks coming if they make you feel better, but they don't change anything. And they show us that you got nothing. You got nothing. Okay, let's go back to some of you on Facebook and Periscope. Let's see, Chris. What would hypothetical Representative-elect McFarland be doing right now had you won? I would be working towards repairing this divide. Obviously, working with people on the other side of the aisle, I would be trying to convince them that an impeachment will probably do more harm than good. It will continue to divide this country. And what they should be doing is just moving on and demonstrating what they can do when they're in power. And if they make any attempts to make the beginning of their new control about just going after Trump, then they will continue to contribute to the divide. Everybody knows what this president did. I actually think that it would be wise of Democrats to say, let's have, once this is all settled, let's have an investigation into the 2020 election. Let's put together a bipartisan commission. And let's, for everybody's benefit, go through all of the allegations so that this can be settled. I think that that would be wise. And that would be something that I would be calling for and asking my Democrat friends to do. Because I think that that would help dispel so much of the misinformation that is out there. So that's kind of what I think I would be doing. Who knows? I know a lot of Republicans changed their tune after they were part of the siege. Mitch McConnell has changed his tune. And by the way, Mitch McConnell is actually saying there will be a trial in the Senate. Remember, in this last impeachment, he didn't allow the trial to happen. Mitch McConnell is saying he's going to allow the trial to happen. And normally they have their whips, you know, who go to all of the members and they try and put pressure on them to vote in one direction or the other. They have announced that they are not going to whip anybody into supporting or not supporting the impeachment. In other words, they've allowed everybody to vote their conscience on impeachment. We know that impeachment is going to happen in the House. That's a done deal. That will happen tomorrow. But when the trial occurs, and it will probably be after the inauguration, Mitch McConnell, at least in this moment in time, is saying they're going to let people vote their conscience. Now, it would take 17 Republicans and the 50 Democrats in order to get this thing actually through the Senate. Is there enough? I don't think so. And unless you were guaranteed that there were enough, I wouldn't go down this path in the first place. I just wouldn't do it. I don't think that it is worth it. Let's see, Alan. The BLM and Antifa violence is whataboutism. Violence is wrong and needs to be condemned on both sides. Absolutely. Absolutely. There just shouldn't be any doubt about that. Dan on YouTube. Hang on, let me get your comment back up there, Dan. Oh, no, Alan was on YouTube. Sorry. Dan is on Facebook. People died at the Capitol. Lots of people have died in the Antifa and BLM riots. It's not good on either side. Thank you. You're exactly right. Let's see. Trump said many times that it was wrong, but Biden has failed to say Antifa and BLM all summer bad. It's not true, Sterling. It's not true. I don't know where you're getting that information, but all the way back in March, Biden has been condemning the violence. So I know there's been memes going around social media saying that he hasn't, but thank goodness for the internet and social media, he has condemned the violence. He was asked about Antifa in the debate, and he said Antifa is an ideology. Remember that? It's not an actual organization. But he's actually quoting the FBI on that. Let's see. Sterling, all violence is bad. They are both very bad. I agree. But I want to know, agree or disagree with me, trying to overthrow the United States government is worse than burning down your individual city in a protest. Agree or disagree? Or are they equal? I don't see them as equal. Maybe I'm up in the night on that, but I don't see them as equal. This is Ken. Think Pence will write a book. He's had to swallow his pride and carry the water the most. He must have a lot to say if he's willing to say it. I've said this before. I think a lot of people are like, Trump won't fade away into the night. I think that once Trump is gone and the way it has ended, his presidency ended with the siege, I think a lot of people are going to come forward that maybe would not have in the past. And we're going to learn a lot about what happened in the past. Let's see. Brad, do you think big tech is playing with fire by kicking Trump off? I know they're private companies, but isn't this the reason tech keeps getting hauled before Congress? Because they pick winners and losers because of their dominance. So they get hauled before Congress because of a couple reasons. One is privacy. How are they using information? The other reason they get called before Congress is because of a potential monopoly. And those are definite concerns. And if you want to break up Facebook because they're a monopoly, I think there's a discussion to be had there. I do think big tech is losing membership right now. I think Twitter and Facebook, they're losing people right now en masse. And those people are looking for somewhere to go. And remember, I've been saying for weeks that President Trump should start his own social media company. Well, it turns out he's actually looking into it. I think he listens to this podcast. That's what I think. Let's see here. I want to get more of your comments. Jay, white people are super privileged. This is from Jay. I don't allow, or I will not stand for any blanket commentaries like that. If you want to say the people storming the Capitol were white people that are super privileged, if you want to say stuff like that, but when we generalize about an entire group of people based upon their skin color, I really try and avoid that. And I try to look at individuals for their actions. And to me, everybody else, until they give you a reason to believe otherwise, should not be grouped into that. I don't think it's fair to them. You don't know how everybody's been raised. You don't know how what they believe. You don't know their background or their circumstances. So I would just recommend that you avoid that type of blanket commentary. And the other reason why I would avoid it is you instantly turn off every single white person who you might have a point somewhere down the road that you want them to listen to. The minute you call every Trump supporter a member of a cult, you've lost them all. The minute you call every white person super privileged, you have now lost any ability whatsoever to speak reason. And that's something that I cherish, the ability to speak to people of all sides and maybe have a chance to change hearts and minds. So those super broad generalizations, and I fall into that trap sometimes too, and people call me out on it because they know I'm trying to avoid it. I would just recommend, Jay, that you don't go there. This is Amy. It's easy to know exactly what Trump will do. He's been consistent with who he is. Wednesday was simply the opportunity. This is Alan. The root cause of BLM violence and Trump followers are the same. Both believe that all the institutions that are supposed to enforce equity and justice are corrupt and against them. Alan, they're not the same. I think you're right about the belief, but how did they come to that belief? You see, I happen to believe that there are generations of systemic racism built into our society, and that there are still elements of that. Racial profiling, Jim Crow laws. I mean, it's like, look at a black person and say that they don't have reason to be suspect. Yeah, I mean, really? But as far as Trump supporters, that they've somehow been wronged in this election, it's a bunch of nonsense. And if they cared at all to do any research whatsoever, they would know how easily each of these claims have been to debunk. And in order for them to be true, think about the vast conspiracy that you would have to have here to pull off this voter fraud. Every election official on the Republican side and the Democrat side, every judge appointed by a Democrat or a Republican, every member of the Republican-controlled Supreme Court, at every single level, every election, every single level, they would all have to be involved in this grand conspiracy. Just like with those who say COVID is a hoax. Well, it'd have to be an international hoax. Every nation involved. Every epidemiologist, everybody. And I'm not broad brushing there. So I would disagree with your characterization a little bit. This is David. As I said, it's been reported that Mitch is opening up to impeachment. Yeah. But will there be enough? I don't know. Alan says Hillary Clinton was an unlikable candidate. Yes, she was. Let's see if I can get some of your other comments in here. Jabba King says, LOL, and then to my logic. Jabba, you got to be more specific than that. This is on TikTok. Wee Wilson Jr., W.E. Wilson Jr., wants to know, is this a podcast? Yes, it's live. And we are broadcasting on Periscope, Facebook, on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, TikTok. So it is a podcast, but it is live. And it has a camera element. And I am responding directly to your concerns. Hopefully that answers your question. Alan, Trump must be impeached so that he does not have the opportunity to run for election in 2024. I really think that's a choice that should be made by the people. If he runs again in 2024, there's only one possible way he makes a comeback in 2024. And that is if the economy continues to tank and we don't recover from the pandemic. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that this country is chomping at the bit to get back. And so the minute we can with the vaccinations, we're going to roar as a country. And so what will happen if Trump tries to come back, he's going to lose by the same margins. He doesn't have enough support, and he doesn't have any ability to try and pull from the middle. He doesn't even know what that would look like to try and pull from the middle. And if he can't pull from the middle, he has no hope. And honestly, the only reason he was elected in the first place, look, go back and look at the numbers. He didn't outperform his projections. It was Hillary who underperformed dramatically. Just didn't show up. And as I've said, I think it was because of the polling. Okay. Ann wants to know if I would run again. Yes, I would, Ann. But as I've said many times, I spent every dollar. I spent all of our savings. We went all in. And I've got to regroup. I had to quit my day job as a talk show host on KSL to run. And so I have to create a scenario where I have an income source that I don't have to walk away from before I try and run again. So that's just the reality of the situation. But I would do it again. I will tell you that in Congress, they're also looking at the 14th Amendment, which potentially gives them the power to remove some members of Congress if they feel that they participated in this insurrection. And that may put somebody like Burgess Owens, who beat me, in the crosshairs. I don't think they should pursue it. I think, again, too divisive, and they should let the people decide. But I know that there is talk about that. This is W.E. Wilson Jr. says, you have my vote. Thank you so much. And he also says that Trump's a wannabe effing dictator. He does seem a little bit inconvenienced by the Constitution, doesn't he? what else do we have here? Gary says, it won't matter. Trump zealots don't listen to reason. No, you're right. The diehard group, but you have to know that all 75, 74 million who voted for Trump are not in the diehard group. And that there are many of them who just can't vote for a Democrat. They just can't because of their political beliefs. And so they voted for Trump. I believe the majority are in that place. I don't have anything to back that up. But I think that that's the reality. This is Jacob Sorensen. This is Amy talking to Jacob. Then how do you propose he be held accountable for his actions? Do you really think what happened deserves a pass, or will be the last of no accountability happens? I think he's already been held accountable. He lost. He is being held accountable by social media. And the truth of the matter is, the only thing that can come out of impeachment is that he can't hold office any longer. But again, I don't think that's in the stars for him. I think that would be a huge mistake for him. I think he can have much more political power outside of the arena, and he can parlay that into all kinds of cash. W. Wilson Jr. on TikTok says, I'm a conservative, but I'm not a sheep. Thank you. I think that's very well said. One of the features of this podcast and of my own personal philosophy is that we stand on principle, not on party. And we choose our party because it aligns best with our principles. But when our party goes astray from our principles, we don't join them. We say, you better stop, or we'll find somebody else. Okay, what else do we have here? Jacob, do you really ever see Democrats going through the election fraud claims and dispelling information? It's stick to party lines now more than ever. I don't know. You know, it's probably too much to hope for, as far as I'm concerned. I will tell you this. All you have to do is go to the Republicans in a state like Georgia. If you want to see something, go and Google Gabriel Sterling and take a look at the half hour debunking that he did of Dominion, of the claims of the water main break, of the votes coming out from under tables. He goes through each item, and he is a lifelong Republican in a state controlled by Republicans, and he debunks every single one of those myths. I think that there has been enough debunking going on. The only person now who's going to convince Trump supporters that election fraud didn't happen is Donald J. Trump. And he's not going to do that, is he? He's not going to come out and say, oh, my bad, it didn't really happen. Oh, my bad. Spencer, can they condemn Trump's incitement of violence or bar him from public office without first impeaching? I don't think so. If anyone else on this broadcast knows differently, let me know. This is LJ on Periscope. Nothing is worse than what happened in Washington. Everybody knows that. Well, no, there's a lot of people out there saying this is no different than what Antifa did. I think it is different. I think it is. This is Barrington. None of them said anything. I do not know what planet you live on, but I didn't see any of them. Barrington, are you talking about the left calling out the violence of Antifa and the rioters? If that's what you're talking about, just use the Google. It's at your fingertips. Joe Biden condemns riots. Just do that. And you'll find every example. And there are plenty. You know, it's so funny that the very same group that is saying Joe Biden has never condemned the violence are the same group that's saying President Trump has condemned white supremacy plenty of times. Well, yeah, he did. He did back in 2016, but it sure was hard for him to keep saying it. You know, both sides want to play this game, and I think it's a bunch of nonsense, if you ask me. Jacob says Trump will have nowhere to house a social media platform given the current environment. Parler was blacklisted by Amazon. I know. Some of you I am skipping over because you get so much commentary. I'm trying to find some of our newbies. So like Brandon, I apologize. You've commented so much. I'm kind of trying to get some of our newer listeners on. But he does say, are you sure Trump isn't trying to create a shadow government? Yeah, I'm sure. Trump's not that smart. Let's see. This is Emily. Democratic are nasty. You gotta get out of that mindset. You really got to get out of that mindset. There are good, honest, hardworking, wonderful people who are Democrats. And there are people who are Democrats who are just as politically motivated as we have on the right. The reason that we're in this mess is because we've been convinced that this is a battle between good and evil. Jacob says, what's my new day job? Do you really want to know what I do during the daytime, Jacob? DoorDash right now. DoorDash. It's in the middle of a pandemic. That's what I do. I deliver food. Let's see. Get to any of your other questions here. Cheryl says even Moscow Mitch is on board. I think you're going to have a lot more Republicans than you might think in the Senate who vote for impeachment. And the fact that there's going to be a trial at all should tell you how much things have turned. This is Jacob. Did I see Arnold's comparison of the Capitol? Yeah, I did. Look, there's a lot of similarities that can be drawn. Rena says yes to impeachment. I don't want him attempting to be president again. The other question that I asked at the beginning of this podcast is, will there be more violence? The reason that I ask about that is this FBI bulletin that Trump supporters are planning armed protests at the U.S. Capitol in all 50 states. Now, armed protest doesn't mean violence, but with what just happened, they're going to have to be prepared. And some of the other things that we're finding out about the day of the siege, for example, the chief of the Capitol Police said he tried 6 times to call reinforcements to deal with pro-Trump rioters, but kept getting blocked. The National Guard didn't arrive at the Capitol until 3 hours after his urgent request. And I've chosen not to show you some of the video that's out. There's new video of the mob beating a police officer. They now have a suspect in who killed that police officer with the fire extinguisher. I've seen his picture, and he's going to be arrested. One of the other things that I heard today, if you heard the press conference, was that they are pursuing sedition charges. You've heard a lot of these people have been arrested initially on trespassing, stolen property, those types of things. But those are just the initial charges so that they can hold them. And now they're working on much, much bigger charges. Charges of that could get them up to 20 years in prison. So, do you think they thought that's how this was going to end? Amy says, I think there will be more violence. We've seen armed protests in Utah this summer. Alan on YouTube, armed protest is a form of political intimidation. Unless a protest theme is regarding gun rights, there's no other reason to bring long guns to political protests. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's right. Jacob says DoorDash is awesome. I don't know what I would do without it. I mean, right now, we're just, you know, doing everything we can to survive this pandemic like everybody else. This is... Oh, let me put it up there again on Facebook. Sorry. Jay, I've been a longtime fan. I wanted to thank you for sharing your measured voice. Thank you for your sacrifice to enter the political forum. I want to order DoorDash just to support you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a fan. Thank you for being your support, for supporting me. And support DoorDash. I don't know if I'll ever end up in your door, but... definitely support DoorDash. The zip tie guy has been arrested. Remember him? Why did he have all those zip ties? I'll tell you why. He thought he was going to have Nancy Pelosi and other congressmen and women in handcuffs. 2 Capitol police officers have been suspended over the riots. I told you, storm the Capitol. That phrase has been used over 100,000 times in the month leading up to the D.C. riot. Many diehard Trump supporters were outraged to find that when they returned to the airport after the riots, that their flight had been canceled. Not their flight, but their ticket had been canceled. That they had been put on a no-fly list by the airlines. So they were left stranded in the airports. The Washington Monument is closed until after the Biden inauguration, after credible threats. Facebook is banning the phrase stop the steal. So much going on. You know, so many of us thought, you know, could it be worse than 2020? Yeah, we've started out way worse. On TikTok again, W. Wilson Jr., I'm curious, do you support Trump? I support Trump when he makes decisions that my principles will let me align with. So I supported his Supreme Court nominations. I supported his tax reform. I supported his deregulation. There are a lot of things that I supported that he did. But he completely lost me on COVID. I think it's the worst presidential handling of a crisis in our history, at least in our modern history. And then with this voter fraud stuff, I mean, fomenting anarchy because you can't lose. That's just, that's evil. It's evil. That's what that is. Absolute evil. Any other questions or comments? If you're asking me about, like Alan's asking me about Prop 22, we'll have to do that another time, Alan. This is Orion. If Trump gets a conviction in court, that will stop him from getting on the ballot in most states. I don't see him running for lower office, do you? I mean, could he run for governor? I don't see that happening. Maybe. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that happening. He wanted to be president, I believe, for his own ego. And his ego has guided him this entire way. And it's what leads him to perpetuate the false narrative of voter fraud and the false narrative of a COVID hoax, because those things all keep him from getting elected. Amy says, do you think the inauguration will be moved inside and then shown online? Well, they had already had plans even before January 6th to make it a virtual inauguration. So there's only going to be a select group of people there. Now they've put up a huge fence around the Capitol. And so you're not going to have the public there, at least close by. And it will be a virtual event anyway. But again, that was mostly their plan before January 6th. So... Oh, also, Mitt Romney. Some of you hate it when I bring up Mitt. He said there must be a meaningful consequence for Trump inciting the Capitol attack. He says when the president incites an attack against Congress, there must be a meaningful consequence. We will be considering those options and the best course for our nation in the days ahead. And the polling shows a historic percentage of Americans want Trump removed from office. The Bar Association, New York Bar Association, is looking at possibly censoring or removing Rudy Giuliani from the bar because of his trial by combat remarks. And David says Trump may be able to get a job as caretaker of a local golf course, maybe. Jacob says, does a Trump impeachment invalidate his Supreme Court referrals while in office? No. And I haven't heard Joe Biden talking about court packing. If the Democrats do decide to pursue court packing, you are going to hear me preaching against that as aggressively as I can. I understand why the Democrats are upset. They have every right to be upset because their Merrick Garland nomination was stolen from them under false pretenses. And then when those same circumstances came up again, suddenly it was a different story. So I understand Democrats have every right to be upset about the Supreme Court situation. But deciding to pack the court will change the courts forever. And if Democrats can pack the court so they can get a majority, then the next time Republicans are in power, they'll pack the courts to get their majority. I mean, this is just an absolute recipe for disaster. And in fact, something needs to be done. An amendment, something needs to be done to make sure that this idea of packing the court cannot be carried out. Mary on Facebook. Hey, Mary, no impeachment. Yes, that would make more uprising in people. Yeah, I agree. I, d- I just don't see the I see huge downside. The only upside is that you could keep Trump from seeking office again. I can't see the president do it. I don't think his ego would allow him to put himself in that place again. Amy says, if Trump gets impeached, what do you think will happen to Giuliani and others that assisted Trump? Well, they're all going to get pardons. And so they're going to be untouchable as far as any federal crimes are concerned. So any claims of them federally going after inciting violence or things like that, those would all have to be brought at a state level. They would not be able to bring them at a federal level. Does anybody have any doubt that the entire Trump family, that even Barron Trump is going to get a pardon? Any doubts about that, my friends? There shouldn't be any doubts whatsoever. Hey, please take a minute. If you want me to dedicate all my time to bringing you these podcasts instead of having to go out and DoorDash, you can help me out. Become a monthly patron or a one-time donor to this podcast. Scan that flow code on the screen or just go to my Facebook page or click on the link in the description of this podcast and get on board and help me be able to bring this fearless honesty to you every single day. That is my goal. So if you can help me out, that would be fantastic. With that, I'm going to release you all back into your lives so that you can enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening. My goal is to be back with you tomorrow night. We'll probably be talking about the first president in our history to have been impeached. Amy says Trump can't pardon himself, right? Well, Trump thinks he can. Most legal scholars believe he can't. I believe that he can't. But when has that stopped him before? Has it ever? And then that would result in all types of legal wrangling. And it would probably go to the Supreme Court and they would have to bring clarity on whether or not the president could actually do that. I don't think the president should be allowed to pardon himself. That goes against everything that we believe about checks and balances. So with that, my friends, I hope you have a wonderful evening. If you have questions, join me tomorrow night. I'll be back live again. Thank you on TikTok, those of you who are joining me. And tell your friends, share this podcast with everybody that you know. Become a monthly donor to the podcast. And with that, I so much appreciate your support and for joining me tonight. Everybody have a wonderful evening.